14, 15, 16, 17, in which he talked about the whole reason for the death of Christ. And he said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another," John 13, 34 and 35. And then John 14, 21, which may seem a challenge to you, but you need to understand it better. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." And of course, we receive that in almost a law or legalistic sense, and that's not how Jesus intended it to be heard at all. The gospel saves us from our sins. The gospel gives us eternal life. The gospel takes us to heaven. You know, so this begins, "Don't be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." And someone has said, "Well, isn't it wonderful that Jesus has been preparing that place for us for 2,000 years? It's going to be wonderful." And so that we think in terms of our sins being forgiven, we think in terms of eternal life, and then we think in terms of going to heaven. And those are the emphases. And in the midst of all of this, we think of ministry. And I think that's what the other apostles and writers were thinking about the kingdom and doing ministry. But John thought about love. And he's really saying here that all of this is, as much of these other things are necessary and important, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, going to heaven, all of this is to bring us into love, into the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love each other. And we demonstrate our love by keeping his commandments," the first and most important commandment being, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." I don't know why, maybe because it's extraordinarily difficult, but the love component, which is the most important component, is missed. And in all of the confusion and misdirection and heresy that surrounds the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying in John chapter 14 that none of this can happen without Holy Spirit. None of this can happen without Holy Spirit. Jesus is physically limited to his body, and he's going to be leaving, even though he comes back after he raises himself from the dead and stays for 40 days, but he's going to be leaving. And he is saying, "Don't be troubled. Yeah, I'm going, but I'm going to send another one." And when we think of Holy Spirit, we don't think of Jesus and we don't think of the Father, but we should. That to see Jesus is to see the Father. He says that, right? "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And the Holy Spirit could say precisely the same thing. He who has seen me, experienced me, is experiencing the Father and is also experiencing Jesus. And so we have this call into the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and it takes place through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about Holy Spirit today, about his love for you and his call for you into the love fellowship of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong to think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those things are needful and necessary for us to carry out the work of building the kingdom. But it's all about entering into the fellowship of love. Why is this important? Why is this important? It's because it can't happen without the agency of Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural thing that takes place. If I may say, after being a pastor for close to 40 years and being a Christian for close to 50 years, I have come to understand, because I've been through many struggles and conflicts in my own life, many struggles and conflicts in the life of the church, that the one element that I see rarely is love. Love for one another. I pursued, for a good part of my Christian experience, the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit and all that attends that, the charismatic side of it. And without going into a lot of detail, I've moved in a lot of those gifts over the years, and I've seen it move in churches. But it seems that the element that was always missing was love. Always missing was love. And when we get into the struggles that you have been through and the churches that I have been in have been through, that seems to be what's missing. We need Holy Spirit for love to move in our midst, for us to be changed and transformed. And so Jesus directs his disciples. They've just had the supper where Jesus has washed their feet and said, if I, who am your Lord and Master, serve you, you also ought to serve one another. And he's really demonstrating physically what love is all about, how we serve one another. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, but we do know the way. And then the most famous verse in this chapter, and probably most well known in Christian circles apart from John 3:16, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And what we miss, which is singularly important, is that this is all about coming to the Father. It's not about coming to heaven. You know, we read those first few verses, and I remember one famous evangelist who will remain nameless, who said he went up into heaven and the Lord showed him the house that he was building for him and had all this stuff in it that he liked in it and so on and so on. And I'm not really comfortable with what he said and the fact that he went up to heaven. And that he walked around with Jesus like that. So we focus on heaven and going to heaven and, you know, maybe I'm going to have a house out in the suburbs or maybe downtown Jerusalem and where would I like to be and all that kind of stuff. I always say this, I don't care about the house. I don't care because when I die, I want to go one place and stay there forever. You know, I tell people, I'm going to run into heaven and I'm going to leap and grab Jesus' feet on my face and I'm going to hold on and I'm going to stay there as long as he'll let me. That's where I want to be. I want to be with him. And so Jesus says, the way, the truth, and the life, I'm the way to the Father. And so Jesus We are in Him, and we have access to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and this wonderful love and unity between them. And Jesus tells us who the Father is. He who's seen me has seen the Father, and it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He who has seen the Holy Spirit has seen me. He who has seen the Holy Spirit has seen the Father. They're all one heart, one mind, one love, one unity, one Spirit. And so I have access to this, and that's what I've been called to. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just to heaven. Yeah, you're going to heaven. Not just to eternal life. Not just to getting your sins canceled out. Those are all extraordinarily important and all necessary, but it's the Father. I want you to know the Father. I want you to enter into this love. This is your destiny. You were made for this. And you were called in becoming like Jesus. And this is how we enter into this love. There is no room for selfishness, pride, having your own way, doing your own thing in heaven. In Christ, we enter into the fellowship of this love, and it's selfless. It's a love that only cares about the other and not yourself, and that's what Jesus demonstrated. And so this transformation process is taking place now. You're being transformed into the image of Christ to become like Jesus so you can be in this fellowship, and the agent that's doing that is Holy Spirit. We desperately need Him. And this is what Jesus says, you know, I'm leaving and I'm sending someone else who is going to take my place. And the wonder of it is He can dwell in all of you and proceed with the work that is necessary. So Jesus is more than the way into heaven. He's the way into the love and the unity of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father in abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Now, Jesus is about to introduce another of the same kind. In seeing Jesus, we see all that God is. We see the Father. And we see the Holy Spirit. And so he's about to introduce the disciples to the Holy Spirit, who is one with Jesus, who is one with the Father. He who has seen Holy Spirit, his mind is one with the Father and the Son. We should not be afraid of Holy Spirit. We desperately need him. And we should love him as much as we love Jesus, as much as we love the Father. Because Holy Spirit loves the Father. Holy Spirit loves Jesus. And this is what we're called into. This same love. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's being said here? Because this verse is taken out of context. You know, ask and you receive. Get whatever you want. If you just use the formula in Jesus' name. The key to this is to be in the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as Jesus was one with the Father. See, Jesus was in complete submission to the will of the Father. And in that submission, the Father worked through him to do the works that he did. And so when Jesus says, you'll do the same works, greater works than me even, it's because you are in the same relationship with the Father as Jesus is. Somehow we miss this. You know, we have good sound doctrine and theology. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I got that all nailed down. I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 through the doctrinal statement of my denomination and my church. I know all that. And I know that somehow Jesus is kind of an example of how we should live. But no, he's not an example. He is exactly how we should live. He's exactly how we should live. This big mystery about signs and wonders and miracles, seeing people healed, seeing blind eyes open, seeing people pulled up out of lameness, like what happened with Peter and John when they were in the temple. You know, and we say, well, that stuff's not happening anymore. It's just a one-time deal that happened in the book of Acts. No. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to live like Jesus in the unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so what's happening through the Spirit, we are being transformed to be like Jesus. And so we move to a life of complete submission and surrender. Anybody here completely submitted and surrendered? I got to put my hand down because I'm not. But I feel that pull that the Lord is calling me. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me to be fully submitted and surrendered, to give everything to the Lord. The Lord spoke to me last week in my devotions and said this, what would your life look like if you believed everything that I've said to you? Boy, that was a challenge. Because I realized right away that my life would be very, very different. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I won't have enough money to live until I die for the next 20 years. I'm afraid that the way the world is going, maybe the Antichrist is going to come and they're going to throw us into concentration camps and take our children and grandchildren away from us. I'm afraid. I could give you a long list of the things that I'm afraid of. But if I'm completely submitted and surrendered to the Father and everything, there's just complete trust. And his perfect love does what? John said this too. It casts out all fear. The perfect love of God takes all the fear. Can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine moving into that relationship, being transformed in such a way that you trusted the Father for everything? See, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have crises in your life. One of my good friends just got leukemia. Was in the hospital going through chemotherapy. Wonderful people. Just a young man, about 40, and he's got a beautiful wife, and they got three little kitties, and all of a sudden their whole life is taken over by this crisis. And you probably know people like that. And so it's not about having a trouble-free life and having everything that you need. It's about trusting God in everything because you love him and you know he loves you just like Jesus loved him and the Father loved Jesus. That's what you're called into. That's why we're here. That's where we're going. That's what we should be becoming. So in this we see what we are becoming and shall become. This can't happen without Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that here he introduces the whole question of love. If you love me, verse 15, you'll keep my commandments. Right away you're hearing, as I have all heard over the years, I didn't like John 14:21 because I knew I wasn't keeping all his commandments. And so I had to say, I don't love you, Lord. because I'm not that obedient. So there, I just keep reading that, and I say, oh my goodness, oh. And here's what he says, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Let me just see what the reference to that is. The Greek is parakletos, one called alongside to help. Other word it can be translated is comforter, advocate, intercessor. Intercessor, remember that, what it says in Romans 8, that the Spirit it prays for us when we don't know how to pray? He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send Holy Spirit, and I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father. You will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We're right back here. In that day when Jesus raises up from the dead, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, what you're going to know, that Jesus is in the Father, and you are in Jesus, and as a consequence, you are in the Father and Holy Spirit. This is what it's all about. This is what we've been called to. This is why we're here. This is why God did all this. So that you might become lovers. Lovers of God. Lovers of one another. You can't do it any other way. It can't happen in any other way. That's what we found out in the Old Testament with all the laws and the rules. Paul rightly said all that stuff was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. What it taught us is that we can't do any of it. We can't keep the law. We can't consistently obey. And so what God did was put us in Christ. And through the Holy Spirit began to change us into the image of Christ. And move us into a love relationship with God rather than a law relationship with God. You're all keenly aware, I hope, that you are failing. Aren't you? A day doesn't go by when you don't break the law. It's a series of little incidents. You drive your car and you lose your temper because someone cuts you off. You have that same old argument with your spouse and, oh, he always says that. Oh, she always does that. And this ongoing stuff that happens over and over and over again, you're deeply conscious of, I want to be a good Christian, but it's not happening. It's not working. You can't do it. You never could. You can't do it. You never could. You can't do it. You never could. You need your heart changed and transformed so that you're not obeying God out of law, but you are obeying Him out of love for Him. That's the one thing that will change everything. And the Holy Spirit will help you, enable you, change you, transform you, so that that can happen. And it's by the Holy Spirit. He says, in that day you will know. It's by Holy Spirit we know this. We wouldn't know it otherwise. We wouldn't know who we are. We wouldn't know what we're becoming and what we're going to become without Holy Spirit. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And what is the word? What is it that Jesus is saying? He's saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. It's all about loving your husband and your wife and your children. It's all about loving your neighbor. It's all about loving God with everything that you have. That is who you are. That's what you've been called to. That's the word that Jesus is commanding you to keep. Don't pull out all the list of commandments, the Ten Commandments, and all the things in the law that you're not supposed to do, and say, well, I got to do this and 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 this, because there's no end to it. And everybody who's tried to do that has failed totally, completely, and utterly. And the one who said, I do it better than anyone else, became a murderer of Christians, Paul. I excel more than anyone else in the keeping of the law. And yet God came to him in his grace and saved him because he loved him. The character of our one with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son is love. It's a love relationship, not a law relationship. It's a love relationship, not a law relationship. These things I've spoken to you, verse 25, while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So Holy Spirit now takes Jesus' place as teacher and abiding presence for all of us. Let me ask you this morning. What is your relationship with Holy Spirit? I want you to think about that. What's your relationship with him? Are you a little bit mystified? I kind of get who the Father is. And of course, I can read in the scriptures who Jesus is. But Holy Spirit, well, all I hear is the crazy, loony, charismatic stuff, you know, and you got to speak in tongues, and you know, it's all kind of weird and loony about people falling on the floor, and that's all I hear is all that kind of stuff. But Holy Spirit is the same, or shall I say, one with Jesus. He's a person. It's very clear. You've done Bible studies, right, about all the things that a Holy Spirit does that indicates that he's a person. But he dwells in you. And Jesus sent him with purpose and plan in you to accomplish and to finish what he started. He's not an option. He's not a luxury addition to the Christian life. He's not someone to avoid because every time we get involved with the things of the Holy Spirit, we get in trouble. You know, we see church splits taking place. We see people getting off on weird doctrines and stuff like that. What's your relationship with Holy Spirit? Because he's come to take Jesus' place, and he's your teacher, and he's the abiding presence of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. It's the second time he said that. Said it in verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know what? That I love the Father. What I'm going to do is I'm going to offer up my life in obedience for all the rebels and sinners who've hated me and taken my name in vain, who've rebelled against everything that I stand for. I am going to give my life for them. Why? Because the Father asked me to, and because I love all of you. You see, love is about submission to the will of the Father and laying down your life for others. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to die. But you know what I mean. It's all those little sacrifices that come moment by moment and day by day that puts the other person, puts your wife, men, before yourself. Put your husband, ladies, before yourself. Put your children before yourself. Put your brothers and sisters in the church before yourself. Jesus said, this is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws that the Jews had to keep every day. It's about giving. It's about laying down your life. It's about submitting to the will of the Father. It's about being in the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, real relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's about loving them, loving one another, loving His bride, loving His church, loving everyone in the world, the ones who you don't like, the ones that make you uncomfortable, the ones you don't want to be around. It's about love, 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 love. That's what we have been called to. We can't do it without Holy Spirit. Jesus demonstrates by example what love is. And we are commanded. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and will disclose myself to him. You see what happens when we love one another. We become and are like Jesus, and we sit here in fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I read a long time ago, and I can't remember exactly what the words were, but it basically said that we can't come into this relationship in all of its fullness. We can't have someone who's selfish and proud and rebellious and wanting their own way sitting here in Christ. So what has to happen is I have to change. I have to become like Jesus so I can enjoy the fullness of this fellowship. I kind of wonder, I don't know, you know, this is one of the mysteries, isn't it, that what happens to someone who kind of drags their feet and lives a worldly life but is a Christian and then dies and goes to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, are there going to be handicapped people in heaven, spiritually handicapped people in heaven who maybe are not going to be able to enter into the fullness of this relationship? I don't know. And I don't want to scare you with that possibility. But I do know that he said he'd finish what he started. And I do know this. I do know this, that you need to, every moment of every day, pray, Lord, change me. Change my heart. Make me a lover. I want to be just like you in loving the Father. And Jesus says, the one who does that work is the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, it's the Spirit who changes us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus. I just leave you with that. Let's pray. Dear Father, I know that everyone here would say, I love you. And we do want to be with you, and we want to be like Jesus. We're not smart enough, wise enough. We're not strong enough. And so we just cry out to you. By the power and the work of Holy Spirit, change us into the image of Jesus. And grant that we may love you, that we may love one another, and so keep your commandment. And may everyone know that we are your disciples, Lord Jesus, because we do love one another. We know it's supernatural. It's a mighty working of your power. But we know, Lord, that you can now do it because you did it first. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into this world and showing us the way, the truth, and the life, and giving us the privilege of entering in to your love for the Father and the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that word, Pastor Peter. I'll have you guys stand with us as we close with an old hymn. It is old enough that it wasn't in our computer system, but hopefully we all still know it. And as we sing this beautiful song, just be thinking about the love that went into Calvary.
Okay.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
invite Pastor Peter for the benediction.
We can do it on the show.